Glory be to Jesus. Thank God for the word. Thank God for the truth of the gospel. I want to welcome you to another episode of Every Day with Jesus broadcast. This is episode 76. God's word is powerful. God's word is life-changing. I say this often on this broadcast and whenever I get an opportunity to teach or to preach the word of God. God's word is indeed powerful, life-changing, life-transforming. Hallelujah. Bible says in Romans 12, 1 to 2, I beseech you by the mercy of God, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Hallelujah. So you see that God's word is life-changing. God's word transforms life. However, if we don't expose our mind to the word of God gradually, as often as we should, we won't be able to enjoy or experience the life-changing ability that is found in the word of God. So I want to encourage you to give attention to the word of God. Pay vital attention to God's word. God's word is able to change our lives. It's amazing that God is not going to bypass the human mind when it comes to transforming us. Even in salvation, God did not bypass the human mind. Light shines upon the hearts of men. Light shines upon the minds of men. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Bible says from verse 1, therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart, but we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded. We do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine on them. So what does the enemy do to men? The enemy blinds their minds. Hallelujah. The enemy veils their minds so that they do not see the light of the glorious gospel. Glory be to God. So God will not bypass the human mind. In salvation, in spiritual growth, the mind plays a critical role in transformation. Hallelujah. In receiving transformation. Glory be to God. Look at Colossians chapter 3. Hallelujah. So everywhere in scriptures where you find an exhortation to spiritual growth, you discover that the mind of the man, the mind of the Christian, is going to be addressed. Hallelujah. Colossians in chapter 3. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Look at this now. Colossians chapter 3 from verse 1. Bible says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is alive, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. He says to set your mind on things above. Set your mind. Hallelujah. Set your mind. Set your mind. Glory to Jesus. Because it, as we set our minds, and the word set your mind there, or the phrase set your mind there, means to deliberately interest yourself in something. It means to delight in something, to seek something out. Hallelujah. So you fix your mind, or you fix your gaze on the truth, on the realities that are found in Christ Jesus. And that's how we are changed and transformed in our walk with the Lord. Glory be to God. I welcome you again to Every Day with Jesus. And you know, we've been studying remission of sins as a series. And then at the moment, we are looking critically at metaphors for salvation, sanctification, and this is the 14th path in this particular study on sanctification. Glory be to God. And today I want to show you one major implication of the sanctification we have received in Christ Jesus. See 1 Corinthians chapter 6 from verse 18. Bible says, flee sexual immorality. Everything that a man does is outside the body, but he will commit sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So it shows you that now that you have received the Spirit of God, now that you have been indwelt by the Spirit of God, you are not your own. Hallelujah. You don't belong to yourself. It says you were bought with a price. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. That is, you belong to God. Hallelujah. So sanctification is such that you are set apart from the world, you are called out of the world, and you belong exclusively to God. Hallelujah. Now, while the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, not everything in the world belongs to God anymore. Praise God. Not everyone in the world belongs to God anymore. Hallelujah. Things have been estranged from God. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Glory to God. Bible says from verse 1, and you made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Hallelujah. So there's a spirit at work in the world. Glory to Jesus. That's why we cannot say that everyone belongs to God. It's impossible to make such conclusions after you read portions of scriptures like this. Hallelujah. The spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. There's a spirit at work in the sons of disobedience. Bible says, among whom we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, just as the others. Glory to God. Look at Ephesians 4, from verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their hearts. So he says, they've been alienated from the life of God. That speaks of being estranged, that speaks of a separation. So not all men belong to God. Not all of creation belongs to God anymore. Glory be to God. Look at Colossians chapter 2. Glory to God. Colossians in chapter 2. Okay, Colossians 1 from verse 21. Well, let me read from verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Verse 21. And you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. So he says, you who once were alienated. Hallelujah. But you see, in our sanctification, as we received the Spirit of God, as we received the indwelling Spirit, we've been presented to God as his own. Hallelujah. We've been restored. We've been presented to God. We've been separated and set apart to God as his own. We belong to God. See, we're not trying to belong to God. We belong to him. Hallelujah. We belong to God. God owns us. God has chosen us. We're exclusive to God. Hallelujah. We belong exclusively to God. Listen, nobody and nothing in this world owns you like God owns you. Nobody. Nobody. The closest you can find is how your parents, you know, could lay claim on you. Because your parents gave birth to you. So, in a sense, you belong to your parents. Your husband, your wife, in a sense, you guys belong to yourselves in the context of marriage. Your boss, you belong to your boss in the context of a work relationship. However, your boss does not own you. Hallelujah. Your boss doesn't own you. That's why you can choose to walk away anytime. You can choose to quit your job today. You can choose to stop that relationship today. And nothing is going to be wrong with that. You can choose to enter into a contract with somebody, an agreement, you know, on a work basis, and then you leave. And nothing is wrong with that. Glory be to God. Do you also realize that even in marriage, people are not in bondage to themselves forever? Marriage has the reality of being one flesh with your partner. However, there are cases that demand separation. Glory be to God. What happens to a woman or a man that is being battered emotionally or psychologically or physically? Most times, physical assaults, and your life is endangered. Do you remain there? Of course, there are lots of people who believe that, you know, till death do us apart. But you see, it's not that it's your partner that is meant to bring that death that will do you apart now. Praise God. So some people will say, in spite of what is happening, you know, just stay. What you signed is till death do us apart. Till death do us apart, but don't kill me. Do you understand? So, I'm going to run for my dear life if the death that will do us apart is going to come from you. What we are signing when we say till death do us apart is that you and I are going to weather the storms of life together. We're going to go through everything together. We're going to fight for, you know, for our own lives together. We're going to fight for our security, our safety. Not that you become a threat to me and then I say, well, it's till death do us apart. That's stupid. Hallelujah. So there are cases, there are extreme cases that demand that you move away, you separate yourself from that person. Hallelujah. What about cases of extreme sexual immorality? Where the person seems unbendable, unrepentant. The person persists in sexual immorality. The problem here is not that you can't forgive. The problem here is that, see, you are endangering your life if you stay in such a relationship. You can be infected by STDs. That can result in untimely death. Hallelujah. I've seen cases of people who were infected by their spouses due to their own unfaithfulness. So you find out that even marriage is not something that lasts forever in certain cases. And nothing is wrong with that. Glory be to God. Nothing is wrong with that. It's heartbreaking. It's sad. You know, it's not something to be expected. But there are cases that demand that you put, you know, the marriage to an end. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. So you don't belong to any other person. You don't belong to any other relationship like you belong to God. With your partner, with your spouse, you are one flesh. With God, you are one spirit. Hallelujah. With God, you are one spirit. What about parents? There comes a time when a man leaves his father and his mother and cleaves to his wife. Hallelujah. Parents. There are parents who have dissolved their relationship with their children. Say, ah, you are no longer my child. I'm no longer your father or your mother from today. And then you just disown them. You see, your parents can disown you. Glory be to God. And yeah, it's irresponsible. It's unfortunate. It's human. Praise God. But then it happens. Glory be to God. It happens that parents disown their children. Parents cut off their relationship with their children. They put an end to their relationship with their children. And that's because in this world, no relationship is guaranteed to last forever. Hallelujah. So you don't belong to anybody or to any man in the sense in the which you belong to God. Your relationship with God is beyond the fickleness of emotional ties or blood ties. It's about a spiritual link. You belong to God spiritually. 1 Corinthians 6. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Glory be to God. Look at this carefully now. 1 Corinthians 6. I'll read from verse 17. Bible says, but he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Glory to God. And you know, Paul is writing to the Corinthian church. And then he's saying these things shortly after rebuking and, you know, correcting them concerning a man who had his father's wife that was dwelling in sexual immorality. And Paul is writing to them that, see, you guys, you are not getting the point. Because you have been sanctified, because the Holy Ghost dwells within you, your body does not belong to you anymore. You don't belong to yourself anymore. Now you belong to God. You've been bought with a price. Hallelujah. You've been bought over. You've been bought over. You've been bought over. Look at what it says at verse 13. Or let me go to verse 12. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Food for the stomach and the stomach for food, but God will destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord. He's saying your body does not belong to you, and you can't afford to use your body for just what you think or what you please. Hallelujah. Your body is not for sexual immorality. It says your body is for the Lord. Now, in the Old Testament, the idea of sanctification, having things set apart to God, is that they are set apart to God for service. Hallelujah. And God determines what they are used for. God determines how they are used. God determines the boundaries of their activities. Glory be to God. The vessels of the ministry, the cups, the pitchers, and all those things, they belong to God exclusively in His service. And you can't determine to use them for just anything you feel like. God determined their use. Glory be to God. So that's the same thing Paul is telling us in this place. Having been bought with a price, having been set apart to the Lord, God determines the use of our body and of our spirits. Hallelujah. God determines our use. He determines what we do. He determines our activities. He determines what we are to be involved in and with. Glory be to God. In the Old Testament, you had firstborn people, you know, dedicated to the service of God. Samuel is an example. He was taken to the temple. He belonged to God. He was set apart to the service of God. And God determined what Samuel would do. He was ordained a prophet. Glory be to God. Back in the Old Testament also, we had a whole tribe dedicated to the service of God, the Levites. Out of 12 tribes in Israel, God chose one tribe, the Levites, and they were dedicated to the service of God. God chose for them the activities. God determined the things they were to do. God determined how much they were even meant to possess. Imagine that. That the Levites were not given inheritance in the land like every other tribe. And then they were giving tithes and offerings and, you know, things that had to do with the temple, things that had to do with the service of God. They partook of the offerings and the sacrifices. They were set apart to the temple. They were set apart to the service of God. They were set apart to minister the holy things. Glory be to God. Same with the high priest. So you see that in sanctification, the man is set apart to God. He belongs to God. God determines his use. Hallelujah. God determines his use. Look at this now. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Glory be to God. 2 Timothy chapter 2. In sanctification, we belong to God in a way we do not belong to any other person. God owns us exclusively. In fact, God owns us to a point where He determines our relationship with every other person. God God determines your relationship with your parents. It determines your relationship with your boss. It determines your relationship with your spouse, with your husband, with your wife. God determines your relationship. It determines your involvement in this world, in this life. You belong to God in a way you don't belong to any other person. That is one major implication of our sanctification in Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy in chapter 2. Look at this carefully. 2 Timothy 2. I'll read from verse 20. Bible says, but in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Now, this is talking about a walk in sanctification. You know, we've been sanctified unto God. However, in our walk, we are meant to set ourselves apart. We are meant to acknowledge that sanctification. And when the Bible says, he who cleanses himself from this, the this there is in context. What is he meant to cleanse himself from? He who cleanses himself from the latter. What is the latter? What he was talking about in the preceding verses. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible says in verse 17, and their message will spread like cancer. Emmanuel and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. Glory be to God. They overthrow the faith of some. And then, Bible now says in verse 19, nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal, let those who name the Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. What iniquity? The iniquity of false doctrine. Hallelujah. Because at verse 15, the instruction was clear. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So the man that will be a vessel unto honor is the man that will preach sound doctrine. Is the man that will be proclaiming the truth of the word of God, you know, without any adulteration. The man that will proclaim the truth of the word in its simplicity, its sincerity, in its purity. Glory be to God. Those who corrupt the word of God are the likes of Emmanuel and Philetus, who said that the resurrection is already past. Then Paul is saying, in a great house, we have all kinds of vessels. Vessel unto honor, vessel unto dishonor. The one that cleanses himself from the latter will be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. The man that will be a vessel of honor is the man that is ready to rightly divide the word of truth. Is the man that separates himself from the iniquity of false doctrine, from adulterating the word of God. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. So, but you see, that in that sanctification, the man becomes useful for the master's use. Hallelujah. It becomes useful. Hallelujah. It becomes useful for the master. He's ready for every good work. Glory be to God. So in sanctification, we are set apart to the service of God. We belong to God. God determines our activities. He determines what we do. He determines what we preach. Hallelujah. He determines how we live. God determines everything concerning our lives because he owns us. Nobody in this life has bought you. Glory be to God. Don't let your mind be deceiving you. Your mind is going to bright price. See, your husband did not buy you. That thing is just tradition. Glory be to God. Your husband couldn't have bought you. You are too precious for your bright price. Some folks will say, well, it's because the bride price is not so much. If they pay you 50 million, wouldn't you say they've bought you? No. Nobody can buy a fellow human being with money. Because the human is much more important and more valuable than money. That's why the Bible will say that what shall it profit a man that gains the whole world and loses his soul? Why? Because the worth of his soul is deeper and greater than the whole world put together. Praise God. So you can't buy a man with material things. That's why we're not redeemed. We're not bought over with material things, with perishable things. We were bought over by the precious blood of Christ Jesus. So God is the only one who has bought us over. And you see, the implication of that is that we don't belong to any other person or to any other thing like we belong to God. Hallelujah. God owns us exclusively. Bible refers to us as being purchased of God. We've been bought. Acts 20:28. Bible says, therefore, take it to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. To shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. The church of God is referred to as the flock purchased by the blood of God. Hallelujah. God purchased us. Glory be to God. He has a right of ownership over our lives. That is why God has the right to instruct us to do the things he wants us to do. He has the right to determine the way we spend our time. You know, Bible writes to us concerning how we ought to spend our time. Bible commands us concerning our relationships, how we ought to conduct ourselves. Bible commands us concerning virtually every aspect of our lives in Christ Jesus. Why? Because God has a right over our lives. When you purchase anything or when you buy anything, you have a right to use it for whatever reason, for whatever purpose. That's why you see sometimes you look at a man who is driving a Mercedes Benz, a man who is driving a Toyota Lexus, and then the man is using the Toyota Lexus to carry just anything. And then you are wondering. I remember some years back when I went for a camp meeting, and on that campground, I saw a man that was driving an Escalade. Guess what? He was using his Escalade to pack trash. Do you understand? He was packing trash, you know, dustbin and all that, and then I was amazed. I was just looking at him. But you know what? The truth of the matter is, it's his own. It belongs to him. And because it belongs to him, he has a right to use it for whatever purpose. Praise God. But guess what? If he happens to pick another person's car, which is even of an inferior quality or a lower standard or price or value, he does not have the right to use it for just anything. Imagine, he drives an Escalade, he's free to use it to do anything. In fact, if he wants to burn it down, he has a right to do it because he bought it. It belongs to him. But he cannot pick his neighbor's Picanto. You know, Picanto is so small, both in size and in value. But then, he can't pick his neighbor's Picanto and start using it to carry trash. If the neighbor does not approve of that, why? Because it doesn't belong to him. So when you belong to something or you belong to someone, they can use you for just anything. Now, away from all those examples and illustrations, we know that God doesn't use people for just anything. Praise God. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10, where his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God ordained before time that we should walk in them. So God only uses men for good works. Praise God. So we are set apart, we belong to God, and then God has the right to use us for good works. Glory be to God. God has the right to use us for good works. God determines how we live, and he has the right to do so because we have been bought at the price. Glory be to God. I find Christians also following this worldly trend of, I do whatever makes me happy. I do whatever makes me happy. I just do anything that makes me happy. And then they give counsels to others. Do whatever makes you happy. That's not Christian. That's ungodly. You don't do whatever makes you happy. You do what glorifies God. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Bible says, therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. It's not first about your happiness. It's about what pleases the Lord. It's about what glorifies the Lord. Such that you're meant to train yourself and grow up to a point where you find delight in the things that God approves. Hallelujah. In the things that God approves. The Christian life is not about what makes you happy. No. It's about what glorifies the Father. It's about what is beneficial. It's about what is helpful to you. It's about what is edifying. Glory be to God. So you get past, you've gone past trying to make yourself happy. You've gone past trying to please yourself. You're no longer living for self. It's about what glorifies him. Glory be to God. And as you mature in the Christian faith, you're able to begin to find delight and pleasure in the things that are of God. Hallelujah. In the things that are of God. It gets to a point in time when the things that are of God are the things that make you happy. Glory be to God. They are the things that make you happy. But then it is not about your happiness. Is this sounding strange? Yeah, it is not about your happiness. That's why you go preach the gospel and then somebody offends you, someone insults you, and then you go back again. Does that make you happy? It doesn't. It doesn't make you happy preaching the gospel and somebody is insulting you. Having somebody speak to you anyhow, having somebody shun you, is not anything that makes you happy. It doesn't make you happy. Praise God. But you have to keep at it because you've been called to serve the will of the Father. It's not about you anymore. Hallelujah. So you keep doing it. That's why Christianity entails making huge and great sacrifices. There are times you have an opportunity that you ought to just grab and run with. And then the Holy Ghost is saying, no, not this time. No, you are not picking this now. No, this is not God's will for you. I mean, that doesn't make you happy, but then you have to do it. Because it is not about what makes you happy now. It's about what glorifies the Father. God knows what's best for you. Glory be to God. So you must trust his judgment. Hallelujah. So the man that walks in sanctification reckons this fact, that it belongs to God and God has a right of ownership over his life. God has a right to instruct him. God has a right to use him for his own purposes and his own glory. Glory be to God. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow. It's still Every Day with Jesus broadcast. Invite your friends, family members, relatives, colleagues, schoolmates, and let's come together to continue to study the truth concerning sanctification. Glory be to God. And do have a great day of being full of the word, full of the spirit, full of prayer, spiritual songs. And don't forget to be a blessing to somebody. See you in the next episode.